This is a recording for the Andrew LaPlante teleconference with Florida Atlantic University on Monday, August 19th, 2013 at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So right now I have currently Trustee Stille, Teske, and Tanner on the phone. Is there anybody else on the phone? Any other trustees on the phone?
Mulberry.
Trustee Rubin. Sorry, Abdul.
Hi, fine.
Okay, everybody, we're going to get started. Thank you.
All right. I'd like to call special meeting of the FAU Board of Trustees to order. Andrew, would you call the roll, please?
Trustee Barber?
Here.
Trustee Workman? Trustee Amorato? Trustee Fader? Trustee Feingold? Trustee Mulberry?
Here.
Trustee Nyan?
Here.
Trustee Rubin?
Here.
Trustee Stille?
Here.
Trustee Tanner?
Here.
Trustee Teske?
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum on the phone, conference call. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Just some brief comments. This morning, we had a ribbon-cutting ceremony for Parliament Hall, our new 614-bed freshman residence hall. Facility is beautiful. It's ideally designed to meet the needs of our first-time in college students, and this is the first one of our housing facilities that will have a faculty member in residence, and it's a unique and important feature for our students. And so I hope that each of you will take advantage of a tour to see what's happening at the university. Our Southeast National Marine Renewable Energy Center was the subject of a nationally important story last week when the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management released a favorable environmental assessment of the center's plan to install the world's first turbine testing facility on the ocean floor 13 miles off Fort Lauderdale. This is a milestone for our ocean energy initiative, and our next step is to negotiate a five-year lease to conduct testing activities on the U.S. outer continental shelf. And this is the first turbine to be tested, and is one designed and built by FAU researchers that will collect drive strength, performance, and reliability data. I want to congratulate the center's director, who is also an alumna of our university, Sue Skemp, and everyone who's been working hard on this project. The center work is supported by almost $20 million in grants from the U.S. Department of Energy. And this research obviously holds tremendous potential for developing a way to harness the power of offshore currents to generate clean and renewable energy. This summer we had three commencement ceremonies, and they went off very smoothly. I'd like to thank Trustees Workman and Tanner for joining me in delivering the board's greetings to the graduate. Our youngest graduate that you may have seen some information on was 17-year-old James Martin. He graduated summa cum laude from the College of Science with a bachelor's degree in molecular biology. Wow. He became an FAU graduate just 1 year after graduating from FAU High School. And during his last semester, he carried out an internship at Princeton, where he was researched embryonic development under the guidance of a Nobel Prize-winning professor. And last week, he was offered and accepted a job as a research assistant at Princeton. And we're very proud of James and all of our summer graduates.
Yes.
I'd like to also remind you that this year's board retreat will be held at Harbor Branch on September 23rd and 24th. The retreat will have a dinner that at the Disney Vero Beach Resort on Sunday night, the 22nd. So I hope you'll be able to block those dates off on your calendar, and we look forward to seeing you then. Okay. This Tuesday, Dennis Crudell went from being our acting president to our interim president, and has been doing an excellent job. I appreciate everything, Dennis, you're doing for us, and I'll turn it over to you for your report.
Thank you very much, Chairman Barber. As you know, we're about to embark upon a new academic year, and we have every expectation this is going to be an incredibly positive and productive year. The weeks of welcome will get underway with the freshman convocation on Sunday in the K Auditorium. This is an important annual event that's been adopted by many universities around the country, providing a formal introduction to college life to incoming freshmen, and it increases the likelihood they will embrace their university, graduate on time, and be donors back to the university. In my remarks to our new students, I will be emphasizing a need to take 15 hours per semester to graduate in 4 years. Dr. Rhonda Goodman of the College of Nursing, our 2013 Distinguished Teacher of the Year, will deliver the keynote address. You're cordially invited to attend the convocation, which begins at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, this coming Sunday. This year's Weeks of Welcome activities include a very wide variety of events and programs, all of which are designed to immerse students in life at FAU and encourage them to take full advantage of everything that FAU has to offer. Last week, I attended the Conference USA planning retreat in Irving, Texas, with our athletic director, Pat Chun. This is a two-day event that allowed me to meet all the presidents and athletic directors from around the conference. I was very impressed with the high level of energy that everybody shared and the enthusiasm about the upcoming athletic season and their commitment to such high values as sportsmanship and scholarship. FAU athletes will be more active this year, starting with the freshman kickoff celebration this coming Saturday. The entire freshman class will be invited to gather at the FAU Stadium to meet members of the athletic department and be entertained by the cheer and dance teams. Also, the Owls will meet the University of Miami Hurricanes in the first football game of the season on Friday, August 30th at Sun Life Stadium. Kickoff is at 8, and the game will be televised on the ESPNU. And I think we're going to have a great, great year this year, and I think we're going to surprise some people. So, Mr. Chair, that's fine.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to have the approval of the minutes of the June
27,
2013 meeting.
So moved.
So moved.
Second. Dave Tater, second.
All right. Moved and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carried. Thanks. Okay, we have our action agenda, and I will turn to the first action, the approval of a FAU Regulation 3.005 Educational Summary. Yeah. Turn it over to our General Counsel, Mr. David Keon, for that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Trustees, this is a housekeeping matter. This is a new regulation for the university that is required by a new procedure that the Board of Governors recently implemented. Board of Governors themselves passed a new regulation and adopted some new processes that the universities all have to follow with respect to establishing, reclassifying, relocating, or closing educational sites apart from their main campus. The first step that the Board of Governors requires that universities must do is the universities themselves must pass a regulation that is consistent with the Board of Governors regulation and that sets forth the steps that the university will take up to and including the requirement of Board of Governors approval. We have prepared this new regulation, Regulation 3.005. It is in conformance with all of the requirements of Board of Governors Regulation 8.009. It is not specific to any site. We are not proposing here the establishment or transfer or closing of any site. This is simply the procedure that the BOG requires us to put forward that will apply in the future to all sites. And so with this housekeeping matter to bring our affairs into the newly established requirements of the Board of Governors, the administration respectfully requests that the Board adopt new Regulation 3.005 dealing with educational.
Any questions?
Yes, sir. This is Trustee Teske. David, in Section 3B, it indicates that any instructional site or may be relocated or closed upon approval of the university president. And then later in Section C, it says that the president has to bring it to the Board of Trustees. I think that should be moved up in or else incorporated in the paragraph so that it says, with approval of the Board of Trustees, the president recommends approval. Do you see where I'm going?
Yes, sir. Trustee, if you look at section number 2, if you go back up to the second paragraph at the very top, with
right.
the definitions, to the Board of Governors' definitions of educational sites set forth in BOG Regulation 8.09 shall be used. The regulation, the BOG's regulation, defines the terms that you're looking at in paragraphs 3B and 3C. So instructional site in 3B, instructional site and special purpose site, and then in section C, it says establishing, reclassifying, relocating, or closing an additional campus or special purpose center. Those are all defined terms under the Board of Governors regulation. We don't define them in this regulation because if the Board of Governors ever changes their definitions, it would require us to take an additional step of changing our regulation. So we're just simply incorporating their definitions by reference in Section 2. But that's
I think my point was that the president, it looks like the president can solely make that decision. And we know that that's not the case. That's why I'm saying maybe if you brought up the fact in Section C that there's president's recommendation and board approval. Do you see what I'm saying there? It's
yes,
not
sir.
So much what the facility is. It's just
right.
the fact that the president is closing it.
Right, and that's why the difference in the facilities matters is because in Section B, when they're talking about educational sites, those are basically just sort of like storefront operations. Those are the things that actually our president does have the authority, the delegated authority to open and close those sites. Those are not permanent or near permanent centers or campuses. That would be if we're doing something like a continuing education place. If we've got, you know, a program that we're running in conjunction like with a particular high school, something like that, where it's a very limited level of enrollment. There are no permanent facilities there. It's non-degree awarding. Those sorts of things we do, in fact, the president does have the authority to enter into lease agreements and other things of that nature, and we have placed them. We've done CLE programs for businesses. We used to have one with IBM where we would have a program that was embedded in an IBM training facility. Did it with Office Depot before they then contributed to building a facility here. Those are the sorts of things that are instructional sites, and those are not the sorts of things that have previously required board approval. So that's why Section B is written the way that it is, and Section C is written the way it is. Section C does deal with larger geographic facilities, places where we do offer courses that would go towards degrees, things of that nature. Those we absolutely would require Board of Trustees approval. And
okay,
so that's why.
Thank you for explaining that. I appreciate it.
Okay, does that clarify that, sir?
Yes, sir. It does.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Yes.
David, so for cases like the proposal for Yamato Road or downtown Fort Lauderdale or Dania Beach or Commercial Boulevard, those would all still require board approval. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Well, now you said Yamato Road. I mean, if we're talking about a transfer of a university asset or something like that, yes, it absolutely would.
Or
if we're talking
whatever,
doing a CLE course at one of the industrial parks on Yamato Road, that would not require.
No,
so anything that would
about that 38 acres or whatever, if we were figured out what we wanted to do to develop it, that would
absolutely board. That would be under 3C, and that would be a board approval requirement.
Okay. All right, thanks.
David, this is Trustee Feingold.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so concerning, let's say, the closing down or the ramping down of our facilities in downtown Fort Lauderdale or in Martin County, the president cannot do it without board approval or negotiations without board approval. All right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have any facilities in Martin County, but
St. Lucie County,
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That would this would be the sort of thing that our future university campuses, downtown Fort Lauderdale, those programs, they would absolutely, anything that involves a degree granting element, would require board approval.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the new FAU regulation 3.005 educational site?
So moved. So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any further questions? Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Thank you. All right, our next item is to approve amendments to FAU Regulation 8.001, tuition, fee schedule, and percentage of cost. And I'm going to ask Mrs. Dorothy Russell, the interim Senior VP for Financial Affairs, to do that.
Thank you very much. This request is for approval of the revised Regulation 8001 that went before the Board Audit and Finance Committee in April. It reflects three things. One is the change in the undergraduate resident rate from 103.32 to 105.7, which is a 1.71% increase, which is CPI, over last year's rate of 103.32. It equates to $1.75 per credit hour. The second piece that we'd like to seek approval of is originally in April we had thought we would be increasing the Capital Improvement Trust Fund fee from $6.76 to $8.76, $2. That fee was rejected by the Board of Governors in their June meeting, so we need to have that revision also on the regulation. And then the last piece that the Audit and Finance Committee reviewed and approved to send to the full committee was a 3% increase in the medical school tuition of both resident and non-resident fees. But just a little background information. In June, the Board of Governors adopted a percent increase of the CPI rate, which is statutorily required by all SUS institutions to institute for undergraduate tuition per credit hour rate. Again, that equates to $1.75 for us. So we have that on the books and in the regulation, which was posted properly and had not received any feedback from folks. And we also then, in this regulation, moved the CITS fee back to the $6.76 per credit hour. And then the College of Medicine tuition for residents went from $25,725 to $26,497. That's a 3% increase for residents. And for non-residents, went from $31,500 to $32,445. Both of these fees are in accordance with the LCME, the Liaison Committee on Medical Education, and was part of the accreditation process when we went through accreditation review by that committee. All of these have been posted on the university's website for 30 days, as required by law, and there were no comments received. The fiscal implications, particularly, I draw your attention to the fact that while we are statutorily mandated to increase our fee from $103.32 per credit hour to $105.07 per credit hour, we will administratively offset that increase by a waiver of that particular cost per credit hour for students. So the neutral, it'll be a revenue neutral situation for FAU and for the student. So in essence, we are not going to be receiving and collecting fees in and above what you what the Audit and Finance Committee approved back in April. In the medical school tuition fee, we anticipate generating about another $186,000 for those fees generated. Are there any questions?
Yes. Did you say that what we approved in April is what we're going to charge students for this coming semester, but then this will go up at another time certain?
A year from now, we will have this before us to review once again, The credit hour cost will be going up, but we will not be charging the students that amount, so we will not be increasing their cost what out of pocket for tuition for 13-14. So okay. it is consistent with what we approved in April.
Very good. Thank you.
Any other questions?
This is Paul Tanner. Does this item have to be taken in whole, or can it be done separately?
Can it be taken in whole or done separately? The item, the action item?
In terms of, you mean the vote, trustee?
Right.
Yeah, no, this is not a consent agenda. These will all be voted on separately.
No, okay. He wants to break down.
Break up the tuition increase between the medical school and the...
I'm sorry. No, it's a single regulation. All of the amendments are part of amending regulation 8.001. That's one vote. Unless you choose to amend it, then we would have to repost it for another 30 days, wait for public comments, and then bring it back to the board if the board today were to vote to amend the 8.001.
Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question. This is Trustee Amorato.
Okay.
Yes, I have a question. So going back to the 1.71 increase, I'm just looking for a little more clarification because it was said that we're going to be going back to what was approved in April. But in April, we approved that's when we approved the $2 increase that we took out, but now there's $1.75. So technically in April, we would have been 25 cents over, which, you know, going, if we take out $2 and add 1.75, we should be 25 cents under what we approved in April. So, just one more time, if you could clarify, how this is happening. I was told we're offsetting that cost for the 1.7. Just wanted to know more about how that's happening.
Okay. When we first came in April to the Audit and Finance Committee, we came with a 0% increase in tuition, no impact whatsoever on the student. Subsequent to that meeting, the Board of Governors, as shown by the state legislature in Section 1009.24 of the statute, it mandates that we shall, quote, increase at the beginning of each fall semester at the rate equal to inflation. So that came out at the June meeting, and so all institutions around the state, all SUS institutions, were mandated to increase their fees from $103.32 base rate matriculation fee for undergraduate residents, change that to $105.07, which represents, according to the state of Florida, the consumer price index at the particular time in June. So that's one piece of this that we had to raise by state statute. We had no choice in that matter. What we are doing, however, is offsetting that by waiving that particular fee for 13-14, so it's a net change of zero to the student, which is consistent with what we had brought before you in April and the Audit and Finance Committee granted. So that's one issue. So the net change is zero to the student on that particular issue. The next issue
when they see the price of their tuition, so rather than seeing the $105.07, they're going to see the $103.32?
Yes, they will see on their bill the $103.32 cost per credit hour.
Okay.
Okay. The second piece of this that you asked about is the CITS fee. Even though the students were supportive of that back in April, and we presented that to the Audit and Finance Committee in April with a $2 increase, subsequent to that, the Board of Governors in June also voted that down for all institutions. So any institution that went forward with a $6.76 to an $8.76 cost per credit hour for the CITF, all of the institutions that had that on the agenda were rejected, and so we are now back at FAU to $6.76 per credit hour. So that's a net change of zero as well. So the students in both two these two items will net zero to the student.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the amendments to FAU Regulation 8.001, tuition fee schedule and percentage of cost?
Tom Workman, so moved.
Second.
Okay, moved and second. Any other questions? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. We need approval of the 2013-14 Capital Improvement Plan. I'm going to ask Mr. Tom Donati, VP for Facilities, to give us an update on that.
Okay. Good afternoon, trustees. This agenda item seeks the board's approval of the university's updated capital improvement plan, which we're required to do on an annual basis for the period of 2014 through 2019, and the accompanying back of the bills list, which will also require legislative approval. After consultation with President Grubauer and the provost and his review with senior staff, there was a consensus to make no substantive adjustments to the priorities as approved by the Board of Trustees last year. Worth noting, however, is that of the 14 priorities that are listed, 10 are for renovations or additions. This demonstrates the university's commitment to not only expanding our facilities to meet its needs, but also the university's commitment to asset management. Our challenge remains to balance between fixing older buildings while building new ones that attract students and faculty and enhance student life on campus. Another thing worth noting is if you compare this to last year's list, we had 16 priorities as last year, but in compliance with the Board of Governors' requirements, two projects have been broken out of the list which do not currently have survey approval, and those priorities were at number 9, a medical building, and number 16, a social work building, but they are included in the CIP under a separate listing, so that was just a formatting change. FAU's number one priority remains capital renewal and infrastructure. This project funds infrastructure expansion, capital renewal, and helps us to address our backlog of deferred maintenance. Deferred maintenance is often measured in the facilities condition index, and as we do each year and have over the past 10 years, FAU has pretty much been able to hold the line in terms of its backlog of deferred maintenance. However, the challenge to hold this line will certainly be greater in our upcoming years as both the state and higher ed face reduced revenues, particularly in PICO. We will continue to work with President Cordell and Senior Vice President Russell to identify additional operating budgets that might supplement this shortfall in PICO. In the division, we will continue to implement alternative ways to address the deferred maintenance issues through efficiencies, energy savings, and privatization. Last year's consolidation and streamlining process has already helped in supplementing our operating budget and helping to pay some of the PICO shortfall, and next year we should realize additional savings. Also included, other than a priority list, are three listings for the back that I call back of the bill. And the only project we've included is back of the bill listing one for projects constructed, acquired, and financed with approved debt by the university or university direct support organization, and that is for the construction of a hotel and conference center. So I can answer any questions or seek your approval.
Any questions for Mr. Donati? Okay, can I have a motion to approve the capital improvement plan for 2013-14,
please? So moved.
Second.
Any questions?
No.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, approval of 2014-15 legislative budget request for the College of Medicine Simulation Center. And for that, I'm going to ask Dr. Diane Alpern, Acting Provost, to address that issue.
Thank you, Chair Barber. Good afternoon, trustees. As your material suggests, we are really limited this time. The DOG has requested that we limit any submissions to initiatives that were funded with non-recurring monies in 2013-14. In that year, we received $500,000 in non-recurring funds for the College of Medicine Simulation Center, and we are submitting a request for $973,000 for the 14-15 year.
As you know, we have a simulation center here on the in the research park on the Boca Raton campus and also one in West Palm Beach. They are a very important part of our curriculum for our health professional students and our medical students, and it is also something that brings the community to campus because it's heavily used by healthcare practitioners and other groups who are training people in medical scenarios. As you know, we are on the edge of starting our residency program. Those residents will also be using these simulation centers, so it's important for us to continue these and use this money for new equipment and refurbishing old equipment. I am open to any questions.
Yes, ma'am. Do you think that the legislature will do a significant amount of improvement in the proposed budget, or do you think it will be status quo?
I really don't know the direction they're going. All I know is that they've only allowed us to make requests for things that were funded last year.
And what was funded last year was in the amount of $500,000, right?
Correct.
Okay. So what makes you think they'll increase it by $473,000?
Well, we feel, this is Dennis Grudel, Trustee Testy. We feel that we've, in talking with a number of the legislative delegation, that this request is a reasonable request that we will go forward with. We do believe that in the first year we asked for $500,000, and as we grow our class of medical students significantly over the next 2 years to our full complement of 256, we're going to need more equipment to properly work with that, with those students as well as with the college nursing. So we feel, after our discussions with legislative staff and our delegation, that this is a reasonable request that will be accepted.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a Trustee Amorato here. I have a question also going off of the increase amount. So given that you guys did the analysis that this would be the reasonable amount to request, is this amount projected as do you guys project a similar amount in the coming years, or do you see similar increases? How does the flow of the medical student population and the demands fit the analysis that were done?
Well, this is a non-recurring request, so it's a one-time request.
Oh, okay. So this is just for the. Okay, I get it now. Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, can I have a motion to approve the 2014-15 legislative budget request for the College of Medicine Simulation Center?
So moved. Tom Wilson.
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any other questions? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And motion carries. Thank you. Number E is the selection of a presidential search firm. You recall that at our June 27, 2013 meeting, the board voted to commence a national search for a new president. The board authorized me as chair to solicit proposals from executive search firms and to assist with our search, and requested that I present three firms to the board for consideration and final selection. The university's purchasing office conducted the solicitation in accordance with state procurement requirements. Seven firms from across the country submitted proposals. I reviewed each proposal and interviewed each firm individually, and spoke to references submitted by some of the firms. Based on the process, the three firms that I'm recommending for us to consider are Parker Executive Search, R. William Funk & Associates, and Witt Kiefer. And I hope that you've had a chance to review some of their credentials and their proposals in the back. It was a very interesting process for me. It was very enlightening and also very encouraging because the firm, you know, we had a lot of responses and they all were very interested in being chosen to participate in the search. So those were very encouraging things to me. So.
Mr. Barber?
Yes, sir.
Question. How many responses did we have, although these were the three that you feel comfortable with recommending, but how many actually responded?
We had seven responses.
Very good. Thanks.
Andrew, Dave Fader, of the three, obviously we'll ask you who you think you would select, but I know Funk was the search firm we used the first for the last search. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I think that unless Funk far exceeds the other two, that's why I wanted to hear your opinion of the three, I would suggest that we possibly not use Funk again for a variety of different reasons. I think they were also involved with our provost. And it might be good to just have a fresh start. And again, all things being equal, what I'm saying is the other two, or one of the other two, have to be, you know, first class, somebody that we would want. But
right.
I just think, and I'd like to hear from the other trustees, I think it would be a good idea if we had a clean slate, use a different firm, different ideas. I was not part of the part of that search committee, and I just think it would be good to go a different direction, unless you feel that Funk far exceeds the other two. So I want to get your input on that.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I'd like to thank you for all your efforts on this item, and I'm confident that based both on your due diligence, the recommendations that you made, and the review, at least that I conducted, that all three of these search firms are qualified to do the work that we're going to ask them. However, I share some of the concerns about the Funk and Associates. Although the other two firms have not conducted any searches for us within the last 3 years, Funk does have a history with us. They've conducted, from my record, six searches. They did give us the new dean to the College of Business at Dean Dropper. They also brought MJ Saunders. They also brought Brenda Claiborne. And most unfortunately, they were contracted, and we have three failed searches with this firm, both for the Dean of Science, the Dean of Engineering, and for the VP for Research. So their track record with us, I think, should cause us as trustees to think twice before re-engaging them over this really important presidential search.
Yeah, hi, this is Trustee Feingold. I agree. I don't think we should go with the same company that gave us losers. And I think that we need to readdress this issue and find another search firm to move on in a positive direction. I don't want
like
to go with the same company that got MJ and Brenda.
I'd like to go on record saying I didn't say they gave us losers. I said that I think it would be good to make a fresh start. And again, as long as one of the other two are capable, we should consider one of the other two.
Thank you, Trustee Fader. Let me just say this. Each of the three firms that I'm recommending, or that I put on here, these are the three firms that of the seven I felt were the top three. Okay, so I don't believe that there's any one firm that has magic wand. You know, but just understand that in a search, there are a lot of things that go into a search, and there have to be some somebody has to accept the search consultant's recommendation, the search consultant's decision. So I'd just like to leave that there.
Anthony, one second.
Go ahead.
You done? I don't want to interrupt.
No, I'm done.
Now, this is Bob. I was on the search team last time, and just a couple of comments. Yeah, we are, and certainly we aspire to be a, you know, major research university. And the candidates we had last time, I really don't think, when I reflect back on who we were looking at, I don't know that they came from institutions like the ones that we are or we want to be. So I think it's really important that the firm we choose has the ability to attract candidates that would fit into the FAU research, you know, national university. And I shouldn't say all of them, but it just seemed like the pool of candidates wasn't quite the caliber we wanted. And when I've looked at the different firms that you have, and I agree they're all three, you know, very good. You know, Funk, we know, we like Bill, he's a great guy. I agree with the other comments, though, that it might be time to move on. Yeah. The other two firms, it appears to me that one's kind of a regional firm that looks at smaller regional schools, you know, that focus on master's programs, and the other has more of a national presence and focuses on universities that, you know, are similar to what we are or certainly what we want to be, like UMass or UConn or Temple. And I think we should take that into consideration when picking the firm that's going to lead the search. Now, the other thing I'd like to mention is that I did feel last time that the company we used pushed us in a direction. And I don't know that that's a good idea. I think certainly we need input, but I think it needs to be our decision here in you know, South Florida, and not somebody's decision that might be in Pennsylvania or Georgia or Dallas. So I would hope that when we do pick this firm, that you know, we encourage them to provide information, but don't try to push us into a direction one way or the other.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because when I spoke to the when I talked to some of the references, that was actually one of the things that I was looking to find out was, did they try to push you in the direction of a candidate that they had? And so I wasn't on the search committee the last time, so I'm not familiar with all that happened. I think that that, you know, again, so if the board is not comfortable with Funk, I would say let's just take him off the table and let's consider the other two firms.
I concur.
It's a good solution, Anthony.
Hello?
Yeah. Any other questions regarding the Whitkeeper or Parker's executive?
Yeah, Anthony, this is Dr. Fargo. I know Tulane is looking for a new president, and I reached out to them and tried to find their search, who they're using. And again, they're a top, you know, 50 universities in this country, probably in some areas top 10, 15, or 20. And I'm waiting on a call back from them to find out who they're using for their search for their new president. And I'm waiting for a call back.
I appreciate that. We obviously have, we invited all the firms that were, that could propose on this, were invited to propose. And I think of everybody that could, only one who could have did.
Right.
Everybody else did.
Right. There were three, there were a total of 11 firms that were pre-qualified through the procurement process, and one declined to submit a bid. Three began the process of submitting a bid, but there was either a conflict because of another search they had going on in Florida or somewhere that was here, or they were actually working with one of the other firms that was submitting a bid. So 10 out of the 11 firms, and these were all national firms. So Trustee Fungal, it's quite likely that whichever firm is handling the Tulane search was probably contacted, like, because this was a national pool. But these were the seven who both were able to because of having no conflicts and desired. It was nice. We were only turned down by one firm, only one out of the 11.
And why did they turn us down, David?
They just simply declined to give an offer. We didn't ask them why.
Now, in the contract period, cause I know the State Board of Ed is going through the same process of looking for a new commissioner. And in the contract that they had with the search firm that they used, they guaranteed, there were certain guarantees that if the commissioner, and I'm not quite sure all the details, but if it didn't succeed within a period of time, they got money back, and you could check with the Department of Education concerning that.
Yeah, we have that. We have that.
Okay.
Anthony, this is...
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
I have a question. The material that I looked at last week was purely based on financial information and guarantees and, you know, how long the search would last. That's all fine, and they're all pretty close.
Yeah.
I think the trustees would be more interested into, from a philosophy issue, as to why one is better than the other. Why would one firm think that they can do a better job for us in attracting better candidates, knowing issues that we've had in the past couple of years, the sunshine regulation, all the things that affect us. I mean, money is money, and I know we have to go through procurement process as we did, and that's fine. And, again, they're all pretty close. But really, I mean, that doesn't tell me enough on why one is better than the other. I mean, Bob just gave more information than I even realized. One's regional, one's national. I didn't know that Funk had three failed searches with us. How about some more information that would really say why one would do a better job for us under our circumstances than another?
Well, first of all, let me just tell you, I spoke to all seven firms, and none of them thought that we had any circumstances that were huge hurdles. They actually thought that we were a very attractive opportunity for potential candidates. And that was one of the questions I asked them, was, what's our view in the national press? I'm not sure that I agree with Trustee Philly that one is regional. I think one is a larger firm than the other. That can be good and that can be bad. I got both, quite frankly, from speaking to their references. I think that Parker and Woodkeeper have both handled some good searches. Woodkeeper has done more on the presidential side that are aspirational institutions, I guess. But I think that Parker has done some excellent searches, and they have they come very, very highly recommended. And don't seem to push candidates. Once you develop a because that's something that I mean, I'm not interested in looking at a pool of candidates that somebody has in their stable, and that's the pool that we look at. I think we have to do a broader search than that. So,
but Anthony, I'm not so sure maybe I didn't explain it right. We can agree or disagree on circumstances. I mean, you can just Google us, and which obviously somebody's going to do, and is going to see whatever. Everybody has circumstances. We all have issues and all that, good or bad. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So again, back to my question, based upon our good and bad and ugly, and all of the sunshine laws. Some states don't have that, and all of the stuff about us. You talk to all of these firms. So what I want to make a decision is, again, financial is part of it. You've answered that. But that's really secondary now since they're all so close. The real reasons, the real issues and criteria that we should be looking at as to how you hire a firm like this would, I think, would be based on past successes. Are they national in basis? You know, you talk about aspirational universities, and I mean peer-type universities to us. Have they, you know, what are they looking for? Do they have somebody that specializes in this? All that stuff.
Did you see all, I mean, did you flip through the backup? I mean, I'm not sure.
Frankly, I didn't see the, I only saw the financial stuff, and I saw one page. I don't have it today in front of me, but I saw one other page, but nothing like that. I didn't see, if you did it, it's my fault.
Part of your attachment was, you know, the entire proposal that we got from the three firms that, so I know, you know, Parker was like a 40-page proposal that had all their searches. Funk had one. Woodkeeper had one that, you know, showed all their people, the bios of the individuals plus their recent searches. It was a response to a questionnaire that we included.
Oh, crap. I didn't see that.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a day fader. I mean, most of us have gone through searches with national firms, and I think the key is, in reading everything, is that, you know, does the firm have the reach that we need, meaning
right.
Do they know the candidates that are out there? That's really the key thing. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what they do. They're supposed to know the market. They're supposed to know the superstars, and they're supposed to guide us in a direction that fits FAU. It seems like both the two you're talking about can do that. The question then becomes, and Bob, it's easy to miss some of the backup, but that's the key thing, and you're correct. The key is the prices are usually all the same, give or take a few dollars, and for $5,000 or $10,000, we really don't care. The most important thing is which firm is the most capable of reaching out in this vast business of education and really know the players. So obviously, where have they placed people before? Because they've been through the search game. And there's one other point I want to make in this. You know, Funk didn't have three failures. Let's not forget. This is a partnership, guys. We take full responsibility as to who we choose. And as we move forward in this search, you just can't say whoever we hire is the answer to this whole thing. It's a partnership, and this committee that's put together, to be very frank, probably as much say, if not more say, into the selection. So, you know, those are the two points that I just wanted to bring up.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, let me just, and I'm not suggesting this is the only criteria that we use, but there's been several comments about the finance being the same, only a few dollars difference. In the proposals that I read, the Parker's bid was $90,000 fixed, and the Woodkeeper is one-third of the salary with a minimum of $55,000, but one-third of the salary that we've offered the last two positions would make that number around $130,000. So there's a subject, I'm sure, to some negotiation that might occur. But
right.
Certainly in their proposals, they're not suggesting negotiation. And there is quite a bit of difference in price. I just wanted to point that out.
Their proposal does say they're willing to negotiate.
Yeah, I think that, Dave Fader again, let's pick the best one.
Yeah.
And then you could always go back and to
it's
get the
peanuts.
Right person.
This is Bob Steele again, and just Anthony, what I was talking about on a national versus regional is that when I looked at the list of universities that
Parker,
Woodkeeper worked with, they were Drexel, Wisconsin, UMass, UConn, Temple, and when I looked at the one for Parker, it was Iowa State, East Tennessee, Columbus State, Valdosta State. And it sure did appear to me that, you know, I like the left, you know, the other side of the column with the larger research institutions as far as, you know, where I think FAU deserves to be. And that's why I made that comment.
This is Trustee Feingold. I agree with Bob Stille. We need to go with a firm that gets what I call the grade A presidents and not the C class. Thank you.
Can I just tell you something? We're not going to do that. Okay. Neither of these firms, you know, any of these three firms are not C-class firms, okay? I've talked to not just them, but and not just people that they have referred to me. I've used my contacts to speak to references that they don't know that I've talked to. Here is, and I think that either Parker or Woodkeeper are extremely capable of doing a very successful search. Woodkeeper, we have to understand, has, I think, four other presidential searches that the two individuals that we would be dealing with are going to be on. Parker does not have is not currently involved in a presidential search. This particular consultant is not currently involved in a search. So, you know, we should probably consider that also.
Yeah, Anthony, I didn't mean to say that C, but what I'm saying is that we're looking to get to the next level of the university. We have to look for a firm that's looking for top
certain. And what I'm telling you is,
and I'm not knocking Iowa State or anything like that. I'm looking for a search firm that's going to get a top professional to be president.
We're all looking for the same thing. We're all looking for the same thing, and I think one of the things that and either one of these firms will do a good job, will do a very good job, and I think be successful for us. We need to understand that Woodkeeper is bigger. They have done some more impressive, you know, on the presidential side. These two consultants have three other searches either underway or in the same position that we're in. That's the reality. I don't think that going with one or the other is going to guarantee us a particular person or not a person. If I didn't think that these firms were capable, any of them were capable, I certainly wouldn't be recommending them.
Anthony, would it just stay Fader again? I mean, it could be a positive that they're looking for four presidents because that means they're talking to more people, but would it not be a good idea for you to talk to who we're going to be working with? Because sometimes in these big firms, you know, they come in with this great presentation and then all of a sudden you get a junior player helping you versus a firm where you might get the top guy. Have you had the chance to talk to the contact, our main contact, and the one that we're going to deal with?
Yes.
Yes,
I have in both firms talked to the direct person that we're going to be dealing with.
Are you equally impressed, or what's your feeling on those two individuals?
I'm equally impressed with both of them. Mm-hmm. I think that they can both do the job. You know, my only concern is when you have three or four searches going at the same time, who gets first dibs? So, I mean, that's one of the concerns that I personally have, is how do we fit in that equation? And I don't know who the other searches are. You know, because that was one of the questions that I asked, and they had not been given the assignment yet, but they felt that they were getting the assignment, so they didn't feel comfortable saying it, and I respect that.
So they don't have them signed up yet, or?
Yeah, I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm surprised they wouldn't at least share with you where their workload is and who they think they're going to be working on. I mean, I don't know. That seems a little surprising. I mean, in confidence, they say, you know, we're looking at a president for Georgia. It's a big difference if they're looking for Appalachian State versus University of Georgia or Tennessee or Florida or UCLA. I mean, I don't know. I'm just surprised they weren't a little more up front with you.
Well,
do they have them signed up already, or they're just not a signed deal, so they're kind of like us?
No, I don't think they're like us. I think that the way that they phrased it to me is they're in the chute. And I said, what does that mean? So the impression that I got was that they knew they were being selected, but they had not inked a contract yet.
They didn't feel there was a conflict of interest in that institution versus us.
Not necessarily, Anthony and Bob. They may be doing a search for a CEO of a hospital or a healthcare center or a community service institution. It may not necessarily be for a president of a university.
No.
These are all universities.
My question, Trustee Teske, was what other presidential searches are you involved in?
Okay, well then that puts it to rest, and they wouldn't share it. Well,
right. So,
you felt it was a good firm, correct?
Which firm?
The Whitkiefer.
I felt I think it's a good firm. I think that the two consultants that would be assigned to us are good.
I want to say another thing after this, I promise.
I will tell you that if we didn't have those two consultants, I'm not sure my recommendation would be the same.
Because I wouldn't assume they would put their reputation on the line if they didn't feel they could do a good job, but I'll leave it at that.
So, Anthony, you have confidence in the two consultants that you met with from Whitkeeper or whatever, correct?
I have confidence in either firm, and in the consultants from either firm that I have talked to. I have not I haven't met any of these people individually. I've just talked to them on the telephone.
Hey, Anthony, what was your concern about Whitkeeper outside of the two consultants that would represent us?
My only concern is they have multiple searches, and I don't know who the other searches are. That's my only concern.
Right. And then the two specific consultants that would be working for us are or are not working on those other searches?
No. Those two consultants specifically are working on those other searches. That was my point. Because I don't care how many searches they have. I care about the people that are going to be working with us.
Of course, they didn't tell you, but it wouldn't be for the other presidential search here in Florida, right? Or do you know?
No, there are no other search. No other searches. Let me rephrase that. None of these firms are involved in other searches at the presidential level in Florida. I don't think there's any vacancies other than ours. But
No, there are.
They haven't launched yet.
Yeah, they haven't launched yet. And
what?
Florida.
Murray State.
Hmm?
The keeper is at Murray State right now.
Yeah.
But it's
Florida.
No.
You don't know which one it is. You, Anthony, you said they wouldn't tell you.
No. Well, they did tell me that they don't have, I asked them what churches they're doing in Florida. And they're not doing any, neither one of the firms are doing any senior searches in Florida. But they've all done searches in Florida, so they're familiar with the, with Sunshine and all that. So.
And
what's your pleasure?
Well, I don't want to, Dave Fader again, I don't want to put you on the spot, Tony, but you're the only one that's spoken with these firms. So, I mean, if you had to make a decision today, who would you recommend? One other question. Was anybody else involved in the conversation, like David Keon or anybody else, or it was basically you one-on-one with all the firms?
It was me one-on-one.
Well, then you can answer my first question. No, the only reason I read everything, and I think that they're all qualified, and including Funk. but I didn't have the opportunity to one-on-one.
Right.
And it sounds like you spent a lot of time on this. So the fact that the one that's got four searches are in the chute, do you get the impression that we may not get the quality that we need versus, you know, the one that is not as busy but equally as qualified? I mean, is that your, are you leaning that
you
way?
You know, I think that the only concern I have there is the two consultants that I would want to work with at Woodkeeper, those are the only two consultants I would want to work with at Woodkeeper, just because that's where my comfort level is. And if they get distracted, that would not be good for us. That's my only concern.
And
I liked them, you know, I thought they were equally qualified. I'm talking to the actual people that are going to be working with us. I thought that they were equally qualified, that they could equally do what we needed them to do. It's just, you know, that's my only concern. Other than that, I think they're both extremely good friends.
Talk about the potential person we'd be working with if we're at Parker.
At Parker, the lead person would be
Lori Wilder.
Lori Wilder.
Okay.
She would lead the team. And let me just pull over to my page.
My other question.
What level is she at, Anthony? What's her level?
She is the senior VP, or executive vice president and managing director.
Okay.
From talking to different people, she is really the key person in the firm on presidential searches.
Mm-hmm. So. Dennis, just to follow up, one of the things, I don't know if it was on your list of questions, one of the things I'd be interested in is knowing, in this case, we're talking about Lori Wilder, we'll go back on the other search, what searches that she had been involved with personally. In the Whit Kiefer proposal, they did highlight in bold those searches that those two consultants were specifically involved with. Do we have I might have missed it, but do we have a similar list for Lori, or were you able to talk to her about
it? You know, she has done about 50 presidential searches for their firm. I think she's done personally about 7 of them in the last because I asked her for the last couple years.
Sure.
She's been involved in 7 of them. She did in Florida. She's been involved in VP searches at UCF, USF, and UF.
Anthony?
Yes, sir.
This is Butch Testy. You know, it comes back to something that you keep coming back to. You feel very comfortable with the two consultants from Witt and Kiefer.
Yep.
Maybe you would say to that company, I would only offer the contract to you if I could guarantee that they would work with me and they would be my consultants. And if they say no, then you go with Parker.
Butch, I think they are willing to work with us. I think the issue is their time commitment versus their four other clients. Am I right, Anthony?
That's essentially it. I mean, that's where.
Yeah, but if you're going to pay for it, you say, I want this person, and if they can't deliver, then that helps you make up your mind.
Well, that's the person that they're going to assign to us, absolutely, is those people.
So Anthony, just to cut to the chase, we have an option of two firms that you're proposing. One of them is searching for no other president but has experience. The other one is searching for four other presidents, and the two consultants that we would get are the two consultants that are working on those. We would be fifth in line, or not necessarily fifth in line. I don't mean to constitute that there's a line, but for any candidate we would look at, there's four other guys looking at him.
Potentially.
I mean, just
my two cents worth. I think, you know, focus is important, timing is important, and if we've got, you know, and also schedule is important. And a lot of this is going to relate to travel and meeting down here, and if the other consulting firm is traveling around and we don't know where those other, you know, four universities are, my concern is coordinating schedules and, you know, with the conflicts that they're going to have, and who are they going to pick if we're only available during 1 week and not the same week that another university is only available, you know. I'm concerned about that.
And, Abdul, that's the question that I asked them, uh-huh. And they didn't – that was the one that I didn't really get a comfortable answer on.
Yeah, look, I want to be – whoever we hire, I want to be their priority client. I want to be important to them. I don't want to be the fifth one. And I think it says a lot for Witt that they've been selected by four other schools. I think it says a lot. But I'm looking – I've looked at the listing, and I would say we've got a couple of universities that are better on their list. But overall, they both seem to be working with the same tier university that we are. I don't see anything. I don't see a standout in either of their presentations. It says, "Wow, they did a search for this guy or that guy." Nothing really. I mean, I recognize a lot of the names, and I recognize a lot of the names on Parker. So I don't see something compelling to say that Witt is much better. I do like the fact that they seem to be or have. More locations, more people. But, you know, they're only giving us two people, and those two people are essentially competing with us. I'll say this: if I was doing this for my company, I would not pick Witt because of that concern. I want focus to be on.
Okay.
Me.
Anthony, are you looking for a motion?
Yes.
Okay, I make a motion that we work with Parker and Fader with the making sure that we've got the most competitive price. The other firm was more expensive anyway. Is that correct?
They are.
Yeah. And negotiate. Try to negotiate as competitive a price as you can get, regardless of what they put in the contract. I think you could probably go back to them and say, listen. We've got two firms, they're pretty close in price, and you're about $10,000, whatever that number is. I mean, if we could save a little bit of money, you're still going to get the same service. So.
I don't know if you're going to get the same for when a company has got four searches that says to me that these universities have a higher feeling towards this individual company than the other one, which has none. And the other one gave us MJ and Brenda.
No, they did not. We're not
no.
Parker did. It was Funk. We're not looking at Funk. We just
okay.
all agreed that. No, we're not looking at Funk. It's Parker's
okay.
in the firm.
Okay.
And I agree with Chairman Mulberry. You know, you it could be good and bad. I tend to lead toward it could be bad. If they've got four other searches, and you're right, they come down, you know, we're going to need their time, a lot of their time, and they're going to be traveling to and from FAU. And then if we got to wait in line, well, we can't go this week, but we can come down the following week. I think we're better off, all things being equal, go with Parker because we would be their main focus.
And understand, when I say who's doing searches, I'm talking about the person we're going to be dealing with.
And we're dealing
really
with we're dealing with the top one of the top people in the firm.
Right.
That Anthony feels comfortable with.
Okay.
I second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other questions? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed.
Opposed.
Okay, the ayes have it. You know who that was?
Can I ask who opposed, please?
Yes. Teske
and Stilley. was the second? I'm sorry.
Dilley.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We don't have any old business. Do we have any new business? Members of DOT, any comments?
Yes, I just want to say that Tom Donati's doing a great job in moving ahead with the project for the boardroom and the entire third floor of the administration building. And Dennis has been hugely cooperative in making sure that everything is going smoothly. So I want to thank both of them and their staffs. So in the spring, probably in January, we'll all be ready to go, and we'll all be proud to celebrate the new beginning at FAU.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Andrew, do we have any public comments?
No public comments.
No public comments. Thank you. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved.
Thank you very much.